Take your Bibles, if you will, and we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. Proverbs, chapter 24. And we will read one verse this evening, Proverbs, chapter 24, verse number 16. Proverbs 24, 16. And we'll read this one verse out loud together. Proverbs, chapter 24, verse number 16. We'll pause at the punctuation there. Proverbs, chapter 24, and verse number 16. And let's begin. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And let's pray. Lord, I do thank you so much, Lord, that you've given so much grace to me personally, to us, Lord, the mercy that has been shown. I ask you, please just bless, Lord, as the message is preached tonight. Lord, help us to keep the things in our mind, put them away. Lord, help us to focus only on the scripture, only on the truth, Lord. And help it not just to be words that are said, but Lord, that they would be written on our heart, the truth and the principles that are written and spoke tonight. Lord, I just ask you, please bless. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bible open. I want you to mark the verse that we read tonight, if you mark in your Bibles. Bible says, for a just man falleth seven times. But I want you to notice the next part of it. And riseth up again. And riseth up again. Now, I need your attention. I want your eyeballs. I want your brain, what little is left of it. Little as much when God is in it. But that was an appropriate song, amen. Let me start, and if you'll listen tonight, every statement I make is built for the next statement that I'll make. So I need you to think with me tonight. No one likes to fail. Amen. No one likes putting time and effort into something and having it fail. Right. But one thing in life you must accept, there's going to be many times you will fail. Let me say that again. There is one thing sure in life. You will fail from time to time. Failure is the foundation on which success is built. Very few things in life happen without failure involved. There has never been any success without a little failure along the way. Say why? Sinful man is involved. Had we not sinned, there wouldn't be failure. But because we're all sinners and everybody around us are sinners, failure is involved in all success. Some people take themselves and their reputation too seriously. I'm fixing to rip the fingernail off and stomp on the quick of your finger here, so hang on. We are so full of ourselves that we want to tell ourselves we never fail. We want people to think we're better than we really are. Get off of yourself. Amen. If you doubt you failed, go look in the mirror how you look right now. You failed. We are so full of pride, arrogancy, and vanity. People don't want to get glasses. People don't want to get hearing aids. People don't want to admit they're getting older. Can I tell you something? You can't stop it. Might as well make the best of what you got. If it's available, do it. So, well, I didn't. You can say all you want, but you don't know how much you're missing if you can't see or hear. You've lied to yourself so bad you don't even know how bad it is. God tells us in Proverbs 24:16, a just man falleth seven times. Everybody look at me for a second. It doesn't say a just man might fall. It doesn't say that he's going to fall a little. It says a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. See, the key after you fall is what you do after you fall. Are you going to fall and lay there and cry and complain? Or are you going to get back up, get on your feet, and figure out another way? I was out shoveling a few months ago when we had the one snow, and I went to go with the shovel, and when I went with the shovel, my feet went whoop. And as all I saw was the pavement coming at my face. And I thought, stupid, you better do something quick. And I turned just enough to come down on my side, and I hit my shoulder, I hit my knee and my hip, but my face was hit in the snow but did not hit the pavement. Praise the Lord. I say, what'd you do? I went, ugh, and got right back up. Now, I wanted to go inside and go pout to my wife because I was really hurting. I thought, oh, that's really going to hurt for a few days. I could feel it in my hip. I could feel it between my shoulder blades. I could feel it in my neck. I thought, oh. Say, what'd you do? Finish shoveling. Then I went in and cried. Pouted to my wife. Sure enough, about a week and a half later, I was out squirrel hunting, and I'm walking down the trail, and all of a sudden I hit a patch of mud, and my feet went out. I didn't let go of the gun, but when I landed flat on my back. Boom! I thought, okay, that really hurt. I got two squirrels stuck in my backbone right now. And a gun. And I rolled over and said, oh, that's going to hurt. And I got a 3/4 mile walk all uphill. Here we go. And I made it. I finally went to the chiropractor after all the muscles quit hurting. You say, why? Because I wasn't sure what was out of place till the muscles quit hurting. Went to the chiropractor, and he said, what? And I told him, I said, might as well wait till it was all done before I come see you. Why come twice? He's laughing. He said, boy, you did do some damage in here, didn't you? I said, yes, I did. And he snapped, crackled, popped me all over the place. I was so mad at him for 2 days, the pain was changing places. But I'm back into place. I fell, but I got back up. Now, hang on for a second here. Do you sit and sulk in self-pity, or do you dust yourself off and try again? Failing is not failure. Failing is not failure. Staying down and not getting back up is failure. There's a difference in failing and being a failure. Failing is not failure. Staying down after you fail is failure.
Amen.
I've stumbled. I've fallen. I've failed. Probably more times than I can count. But I've never stayed down. I promised the Lord I got one more get up than the devil has knocked down. I promised the Lord no matter how bad the shot, I'm jumping back up. I might be having tears run down my face. I might feel like I just got gut punched or kicked, but I'm going to get back up. Say why? That's the only way to not be a failure. I didn't say I never got knocked down. I got knocked down. But I decided I was going to get up one more time, and I got kicked down. You could say then that if you have one more get up than you have knockdown, you'll never be a failure. That is the difference in failing or being a failure. God says a just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again.
Amen.
It's not what happened that caused the failing. It's what are you going to do after you failed. If you don't get back up, you will be a failure. But if you get back up, you have not become a failure. I'm going to give you 12 statements tonight, I think. 12 statements. They'll go fairly quickly. Number one, failure does not mean I have been disgraced. It means I've dared to try. Just because you fail at something does not mean you're a disgrace. very few people sitting in under the sound of my voice got all the way through school without failing some paper. Some of you, you failed every paper. And the only way you got through it is you got to do it the second time. But very few people, what was that, Brother Scott? Or third, yeah. He spent the four best years of his life in fourth grade. Failure does not mean that you're a disgrace. Young people, you're going to do bad on a homework assignment. You're going to do bad on a test or a quiz. You're going to fail some. It doesn't mean the end of the world. It just means you've tried. Trying is not failure. Failure is not trying. I know people who are a failure because they won't try anything. I'm going to make a statement here. I know many guys sitting in churches that have graduated from Bible college. They're waiting for the perfect will of God to come so that they can go pastor a great work for God. And they're a failure because they're not doing squat. They're sitting there doing nothing. I'd rather be doing something and God say, now I can take you and move you somewhere. Yes. It's those yard birds sitting there doing nothing, thinking they're God's gift to man, waiting for the right place, that I wouldn't hire them. I'd hire a donkey before I'd hire them. Say why? They're not doing anything. They want glory. They want a big church. And somebody contacted me yesterday. Church in a different state, halfway across the country. Would you come candidate? I said, one word. Nope. They said, will you pray about it? I said, nope. Why won't you pray about it? God's not in it. How do you know? He'll tell me. I'm talking a church of 1,000 or more. Buildings paid for. Guess what? I'm not going. Don't want it. Don't want them contacting me. And if they do, that's what the red button on the phone's for. Doesn't bother me. That happens all the time. I'm not interested in it. Everybody doing okay? Don't worry. Everything's fine. I'm not going anywhere. I had somebody ask me that yesterday. Are you going to leave? I said, the only way I'm leaving is the rapture or dying. I said, I'd rather go rapture. My enemies would prefer death. I said, I don't care either way. I said, I'm not going anywhere. Trying is not failure. Failure is not trying. Parents, make your kids try. I'm going to get myself in trouble on this one. When I was growing up, Brother Ricky, I wasn't allowed to say I don't like that if I never tried it. My dad, if my mom made it, we tried it. Whether you liked it or not. Yes. Say, but I don't like that. There's a lot of things you do in life you don't like.
That's
right. Yeah, I still ate them. I learned how to swallow them whole. I tried not to eat them one time and paid the price. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Hang on for a second here. I'm going somewhere with this. I had to try. It amazes me how people say, oh, I don't like that. And I'll say, did you ever eat it? Oh, no. Oh, I can't eat a deer. They're just so beautiful. But you'll eat an ugly old hog? You'd eat a cow? You think a pig's dirty. Cows are a whole lot dirtier than a pig. Pigs are clean compared to a cow. A cow will stand in a pond of water, go to the bathroom both ways in it and drink out of it after it did that. I'm not lying. And a pig, you can put him in a pen and he'll go to the bathroom in the same spot and the rest of the pen is clean. Not a cow. And you think a pig is dirty? You city people, you only see food at the supermarket. You ought to go where it really is brought up, amen? If you saw what a chicken ate, you would never put stuff in your mouth.
Amen.
Now, I say that to say this. And you want to complain about somebody eating some... Have you ever tried it? No, but it sounds gross. Okay, you didn't try, therefore you're a failure. Try it. You don't have to like it, just try it. You see what I'm talking about? Man, I went from preaching to middle and just that quick, amen? Number two, failure does not mean that I am a failure. It means I have not yet succeeded. Failing does not mean I'm a failure. It means I have not yet succeeded. Number three, there's a difference between failing and being a failure. Failing an event or a test is not failure. I'll even go so far as to say this. Failing a grade in school is not failure. It just means you haven't succeeded yet. Everybody doing okay? Failure is a lifestyle. Failing is a part of life. I was a fairly decent student. I was not a brainiac, straight A student. Say why? I wanted to do more in life than just read books. I was busy. From the time I've been 15 on, I've worked either part-time or full-time my whole life. I carried a 3.16 GPA through Christian high school. I carried a 3.16 GPA through Bible college. I'm a solid B student. I learn quick. I don't have to study tons to get material. It kind of comes pretty easy, pretty natural. I probably could have gotten straight A's if all I did was dedicate my life to grades, but I wanted to play sports. I wanted to work. I wanted to hunt. I wanted to do fishing. I wanted to do all the other stuff with it. So I carried a pretty heavy load. Listen to me very carefully here. I can't tell you I never failed a test. I hated algebra. God did not intend for man to figure out problems that have no real answer. I've been chasing X, Y, and Z for so long, and A and B, and good grief. I sat in 10th grade. I looked at Mr. Sampson and said, Mr. Sampson, what stupid Greek sat down and figured out quadratic equations? I said, can you tell me what I'll ever use one of these things for in life? And he said, Mr. Bush, it will teach you how to think better. I said, no, it won't. I said, I can stand here and quote scripture for an hour. Didn't help me quote scripture a bit. I still had to do it, but he never did answer my question. Not one time. Now, everybody doing okay? Now, I understand basic algebra. Basic, real basic. The average person in this room doesn't use past basic math or basic algebra. Not even algebra one. Not even all the pre-alg. And I've run hundreds of millions of dollars worth of business in my ministry over the years. Have I ever had to use high level algebra? No. That's what I got a secretary for. Pay her to do all that. No, and most of you don't even know algebra to this day. You just punch the numbers in your computer and it does it for you anyway. Yeah, told you. So the difference in failing and being a failure, you can fail a test. I can't tell you I passed every test in college the first time. But there were certain teachers, they didn't make tests to where you did pass it. Which I think is stupid. That is a bad teaching tool, just so you know. I hate that type of teaching, but I knew if I did all my outside work and I took the test and then I took it the second time to get the average of the grade that to a passing, I'd still get an A in the class, and I did. I had a roommate. He would study 15, 20 hours for a stupid test. He'd get an A on the test. He didn't turn in one part of the outside work that was required. He got a B in the class. I failed a couple tests that semester, but I turned in all my outside work, and I got an A in the class. Oh, was he mad. Oh. I said, I told you, get all of your work done for this teacher. I said, I know how to pass his class with an A. Now, number four, failure does not mean that I have accomplished nothing. It means I have learned something.
Amen.
Failure does not mean that I have accomplished nothing. It means I have learned something. Too many people gather after an event and only figure out what went right. They never talk about what went wrong.
Amen.
These two people sitting right here, after every major event that we go through at our church, we sit down and say, okay, what didn't go well? What do we need to fix for next time? What didn't come out quite right? How do we need to keep that from happening again? Say why? Because if you can learn from your failure, you won't be a failure again.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? Sometimes it means I learned what not to do again. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. Remember when you were a kid, you were going to jump the Grand Canyon on your bike, and you had something set up, and you got halfway across that thing, and you said, oh, Lord, this isn't going to end well. And you crashed and wiped out and busted bike and your teeth and everything else up. You learned what not to do again. Sometimes you learn to find the truth so that you don't have to keep failing. You know, doing something wrong once is okay. You learn from it. But if you never learn from it and you keep making the same mistake over and over and over and over and over and over again, quit being so stubborn in failure. Learn from it and don't make the same mistake. I've done a lot of teaching in my life, at the school level, junior high school level especially. I had some kids, I gave tests, and I gave cumulative testing in my classes. So they would read and learn and study, and I'd give them a test. Then I'd teach some more, and I'd give them another test, but every question on the first test was on the second test, and I added the second test material to it. And I reviewed the first test and the second test questions in class. Do you know, I had kids that would take the same test 5 and 6 times and get the same wrong answer 6 times. That's not my fault, that's their fault. That's laziness. That's stubbornness. I had a kid fail my class. If you failed my class, you tried. You really tried. And the parent was a little upset. Well, my child's failing. They don't understand your teaching. I pulled out the test. I pulled out the notes. I pulled them all. I laid them out in front of them and said, look, right here. I said, your kid has had the same question 4 times or 6 times and has gotten the wrong answer every time, and they've corrected it on their test every time. How is that my fault? The test question has not even changed. I've asked the exact same wording every time. How is that my fault? Your kid didn't turn in their homework X number of times. How is that my fault? I just went down the list. When the parent left, they weren't quite as upset with me as they were their own kid. Just because, and I get it, there's sometimes I'd have a third of my class miss a test question, and I'd say, okay, here's what the right answer is. I gave everybody credit for it because I apparently didn't teach that well. Let me go back and teach that part. That's my fault. I thought they got it. They didn't get it. Everybody doing okay? I have no problem answering that as a teacher. But if somebody's too lazy to study and to learn it the right way the first time, that's why you need to start young learning right. Quit being stubborn. Just get through it. Boy, that's good stuff. Number five. Let me review. Failing does not mean that I have disgraced. It means that I have dared to try. Failure does not mean that I am a failure. It means I have not yet succeeded. There's a difference in failing and being a failure. And failing does not mean that I have accomplished nothing. It means I have learned something. Number five. Failing means that I've learned a way not to do it again. Amen. If you fail at something, don't try the exact same thing again. Ladies, if you followed the recipe and it failed, maybe you didn't follow the recipe exactly right. Everybody doing okay? Well, the only thing I changed was, that's the problem. When we start changing things, well, I can replace, you don't understand. Baking and cooking, sometimes you just can't change things. I'm going to get in trouble for this one. Somebody turn the nursery speaker off. My wife made the no-bake cookies one time. But I don't remember exactly what it is. You're supposed to either use butter and not margarine, or one or the other. Well, she used the wrong ones. And when you do that, they're not cookies. We called them spoony cookies. You didn't eat them. You just scooped them off there. So my kids to this day call them spoony cookies. And all she did was use the wrong either butter or margarine. And I don't remember which it was. But when you use the wrong one, it doesn't work real well. Well, it's the same thing. No, it's not. Trust me. Now, she only did it that way a time or two till she figured it out what it was, because she asked my mom, and my mom said, well, what are you using for? Well, I'm using, that's your problem, sweetie. Well, it's the same thing. No, it's not. Okay. From then on, we didn't have spoony cookies, but they still call them spoony cookies. Amen. Just because it tastes the same doesn't mean it's the same. Amen. All right. Here you go. Getting married 10 times doesn't mean you learned. Maybe we have the wrong common denominator here. Making the same mistake over and over doesn't mean you learned. Okay, I'm not going to look at anybody. I'm not talking to you personally. How many speeding tickets have you gotten? Maybe we haven't learned. Making the same mistake over and over. Well, I did it on a different road. The principle is don't speed. Everybody doing all right? I just went to Midland again real fast. Hurry up. Save us, Jesus. Amen. Having the same argument about the same problem in your marriage over and over and over and over and over and over again doesn't fix the problem. Until you fix the problem, you're going to argue about it over and over and over and over again. Amen. Fix the problem, you don't have to argue. Shazam! Boy, that's good stuff. Number six. I better move along here. Failing does not mean you don't have it. It means I need to learn how to do it differently. I learned to play trumpet when I was in about fourth or fifth grade. God bless my parents. It was a good thing my dad worked the afternoon shift, or I probably would be shaped like a trumpet right down through here, because he'd have shoved it right down my throat. When a young person starts learning to play an instrument, it's brutal. It's brutal. I don't care who they are, until you learn how to really get the mechanics down. And it takes a couple of years. It's not a couple of weeks or a couple of days. It's years. But I had a trumpet teacher when I was in junior high. And I was a fairly good trumpet player. I got it quick. I'm full of hot air. And I get it. Amen. And I caught on quick. I played well. I was by 6th, 7th grade, 8th grade, I was first chair, first trumpet. And we had a fairly large school, and you don't accomplish that quickly unless you got it. Well, Mr. Ted Winger was the band teacher at the high school at Perry High School. You have to understand something. Band in Ohio is as big as football and basketball is in most states. We have the Ohio State Marching Band. And I'm from, the Hall of Fame football game, the pro game, is played in a high school stadium. Our high school stadiums in Ohio seat 20 and 30,000. And they'll pack them out every Friday night. Okay? Band is as big as football is in different things. Ted Winger was, I coveted playing for, he worked at Ohio State with the marching bands. I mean, he was high level. I came in one time and he hung my trumpet from a string and brought it down to, and he said, okay, put your hands behind your back. I want you to hit middle, I want you to hit C, tuning C with your trumpet without touching it. Ooh. Man, I had to learn all kinds of things. Well, I remember one night I got there, and honestly, I hadn't practiced all week. And I started playing, and he said, Mr. Bush, did you practice? He said, tell me the truth. Oh, why'd you do that? I said, no, sir. He says, your dad or mom here? I said, yeah. He said, put your trumpet away. Man, I just started. I think I had to pay like $5 or $10 a lesson. And back then, that was a lot of money. That's like $20 a lesson now or something. I said, what? He said, you're done. He said, I'll follow you out. He followed me out to the car, Brother Ricky, and he said, he didn't practice. He's wasting my time and he's wasting your money. Don't bring him back unless he practiced next week. Ooh. I had to face my dad with that. Didn't go over well. I had to pay my dad the money back. Say why? Because I wasted his money. But I practiced the next week. I never got caught without practicing. Say why? Mr. Winger knew. You see, sometimes you learn a better way to do it. But if you keep making the same mistake over and over and over and over and over again, I hear people say this all the time and it's like somebody taking their fingernails on a chalkboard going, now, I can do that and it doesn't bother me. But when this statement bothers me, practice makes perfect. That's a lie. Perfect practice makes perfect, not just practice. You can practice the wrong way and create a bad habit. When I got to Mr. Winger, first thing he did was flipped a golf ball at me. I thought, boy, maybe we're going to learn golf. He said, no, put that in your left, in your right hand, between you and the trumpet. You've got a bad habit. You're putting your whole palm of your hand up against the trumpet, and you're moving your fingers out here. You push the trumpet with your fingertips, not with your second joint. I had to play with a golf ball. I had a golf ball rolling around my trumpet case for years. I said, when can I quit this? He said, when you have good posture. Well, either get rid of the golf ball or do it right. I got rid of the golf ball and did it right. I can watch somebody play trumpet and say they don't know what they're doing. They do. Just by how they're... Say, how do you know? Because I know. You see, having the same argument, doing the same thing wrong all the time creates a bad habit. Number six, failure doesn't mean I don't have it. It means I need to learn a new way to do it. The best hitters in baseball are out 7 out of 10 times. Do you ever think about that? The best hitters are out 7 out of 10 times. Average hitters are out 8 out of 10 times. Bad hitters are out 9 out of 10 times. That means the difference between great hitters and bad hitters is 2 out of 10 times. Very fine margin. Very fine line. But there's a huge difference in their ability. You see, I used to hit or pitch. I pitched a lot of curveballs. I had three or four different breaking balls that I could pitch overhand. I could pitch two of them sidearm. I had about 9 or 10 different pitches. I could pitch a whole sequence, and the batter would never see the same pitch twice. But every once in a while, you'd match up a curveball with a curveball hitter. Dink! Watch it go. Say, what'd you do? I didn't throw him curveballs anymore. I learned to throw him the fastball. Or when I did throw him a breaking ball, I'd throw a screwball that looks like a curveball, starting to break outside, and all of a sudden it comes back inside. And they go and hit it right on their fingernails. They'd have bloody hands running to first base. And I'm going, ha, 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 got you. Got you sitting on a curveball, and I threw a screwball at you, and dunk, right on the fingernails. Every time. Say, why'd you do that? Because the curveball didn't work, because he beat me to the punch on the curveball, but I get him out with a different pitch. Everybody doing okay? See, sometimes you got to learn a different way to do it. Number 7. Failure does not mean that I should give up. It means I should try harder. Amen. When you fail a test or you fail a homework assignment or you fail something, it doesn't mean you give up. It means you try harder. Amen. There's a book I have in my office. I read it from time to time, not as often as I used to, but it's a book called The West Point Way of Leadership. Colonel Donathorn wrote it. Fantastic book on leadership. In that, he talks about one of the West Point graduates who went out into business. And while he was out in business, he was working for a high-level CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And he lost $20 million on one deal. He went to his boss and submitted his resignation. His boss called him to his office, and he knew he was about to have to clean his office out. And he said, sir, I'm so sorry. I know what I did wrong, and I know that I've done wrong, and I've cost this company too much money, and it's best for me to step aside. And the boss looked at him and said, young man, he said, I just invested $20 million into your education. Don't you dare quit on me. And in the next year, he more than doubled that money back. Can I tell you something? Failure doesn't mean that you give up. It means you need to try harder. They may hit the curveball, but I still got a fastball. Never give up. Try harder. Try again. Try a new way. There used to be a t-shirt out. I used to love it. I never had one, but I wanted to get one. It's a picture of a bird that swallowed a frog. But as all you see is two green arms coming out of that bird's mouth with its hands around the bird's neck. And above it, it says, never, never give up. I like that. I want to be that frog squeezing that throat. Amen. Say why? I got a chance still. Doesn't have my arms down, I got a chance. Not much of one, and I'm feeling his belly tickle my toes. But I might be able to make him burp me back out or something. I don't know. He's not going to breathe until I can't hold on any longer. Number 8. Failing means that does not mean that I'm inferior. It just means that I am not yet perfect. Did you know you're going to fail? Nobody in this room is perfect. If you think you are, you just proved you're not. Number 9. Failing does not mean that I have wasted part nor all of my life. It means I have the opportunity to start over again. Just because you fail at something doesn't mean that you're a failure for life. There are people in this room. You've been fired from a job. That doesn't mean you quit working. It means you go get another job. I wonder, how many of you at some point in time have been fired or let go from a job before? Raise your hand. Everybody pick, way up. Yeah, about 90%. It doesn't mean you quit working forever. It means you start over again. You see, many millionaires have gone bankrupt. The average millionaire has gone bankrupt 3.5 times in their life. Did you know that? Most millionaires have been bankrupt on average 3.5 times. Made it, lost it, made it, lost it, made it, lost it, and start making it back. 3.5 times. That means there's a lot of failure involved in the success. Let me give you some names of million and billionaires that have gone bankrupt. Walt Disney, George Foreman, Henry Hines, Henry Ford, P.T. Barnum, Milton Hershey, Donald Trump, and many others. Just because they went bankrupt once doesn't mean they gave up. I wonder what this world would not have if people who failed just quit. I just read names. Almost every one of you knew every person in that list. Or most all. And they had all claimed bankruptcy. Lost it all. Number 10. Failure is falling down. Being a failure is staying down. Failing is falling down. Being a failure is staying down. Number 11. To try something is to fail. To fail is to learn. And learning is success. Amen. Let me say that again. To try something is to fail. To fail is to learn. And learning is success. Amen. Failure is a natural step in the process of success. Now, here's the whole sermon, point number 12. The difference in success and failure is whether you fall backwards or fall forwards. The difference in success and failure is, do you fall backwards or do you fall forwards? Falling backwards means you quit. You blame everybody else for the problems. You cancel your plans to continue. You live in anger, bitterness, despair, and depression. I just can't do it anymore. I'm going to give up. It's self-pity. You know, a child doesn't learn to walk just by going from crawling to getting up and walking across the room. They stand up, boom, fall down. And they stand up a little longer, boom, fall down. Eventually, they figure out walking around furniture. Then they let go. Take a step, boom. Then they'll take a couple steps and boom. Then they'll take 3 or 4 or 5 and realize what they did and sit down. They don't succeed all at once, but they keep going a little farther each time. That is exactly what we're to do in life. We're not just supposed to sit there and say, well, I fell one time, so I'm never going to get back up and I'm never going to try to walk again. Good Lord. That's falling backwards. Falling forward means we accept the blame and put it on ourselves. My fault. Didn't work. Didn't do it right. My fault. We learn from the failure what not to do again. We decide, better not do it that way again. Falling forward means I'm going to try it again from a different angle. If it's not possible to succeed where you have failed, then we do choose something else in which we can succeed. True story. My brother is about 3.5, 4 years older than I. So I usually did things 3 or 4 years before I was supposed to do them. When he was 16, I started driving at 12. He was working as a mechanic at our church bus barn, and I would go with him, and I'd help clean out buses and fuel up buses, and I'd get behind of a stick shift bus, old GMCs and old Chevys, 1960s models, and I would drive them a mile and a half down the road from the bus barn, follow him, fuel them up, drive them back, go get two more. We'd drive down, drive back, drive down, drive back. I was 12 years old. Say, preacher, you shouldn't have done it. No, but I did. I didn't have any better sense. He said that's what to do. He just said, don't tell Dad. I said, okay, I won't tell Dad. I learned to back them things up and put them so close together, and I was pulling forward, backing up, packing side by side. I learned I'd drive at 12 years old. I remember him getting a job. I was 13, 14 years old, and he said, I'm tired, take over. And I jumped over in the driver's seat, drove for about an hour and a half. Looked up, and I had somebody on the wrong side of the freeway going the wrong way. And I said, Chris, wake up, look. And he said, get over. And he said, okay, I'm awake, I'll drive. Now, wait a minute. I learned to do things earlier than I probably should have. Not all of it was wise, but I did learn one thing. If you're going to fall down, get back up. Just because you fail doesn't mean that you've failed forever. Try again. Try and try and try again. I wasn't allowed to say can't. My dad would have beat the rest of the fool out of me if I'd have said can't. Oh, to this day, if you tell my dad something's impossible, you get a speech. I can just about quote it. I've done so much for so long with so little. I can give you some of you men have heard that speech from him more than once. He didn't put up with I can't. He'd say, no, you figure it out. Amen. Can't just takes a little longer. Amen. Impossible takes longer, son. Figure it out. Oh, but that impossible takes longer. Figure it out. I found out something. You don't say I can't. You don't say it's impossible. Now, when he said it was impossible, it was impossible. Trust me. You see, you just got to decide you're going to fall forward, not fall backwards. Preacher, have you ever failed? Many times. But I decided I was going to fall forward, not fall backwards. I wasn't going to stay down. I was going to get back up. I've made many mistakes. I've not always handled everything exactly the way it probably should have been handled. But neither have you. I've had to apologize more times than I care to think about. But can I tell you something? I've tried not to make the same mistake twice. I've tried to decide I'm not going to fall backwards, I'm going to fall forward. I'm not for failing. I'm not for being a failure. But I don't think we ought to be Pharisees either and complain about somebody who failed. Right. Don't look down on anyone who has tried. At least they tried. I'm for the guy that gets back up every time he gets knocked down. It's the old story. A bunch of kids are playing dirt lot baseball. Little kid out in right field, he's just smacking his glove. He said, guy come up to him and said, are you winning? No, sir. What's the score? 50-0. He said, 50-0? He said, yes, sir. He said, as soon as we get the next out, though, we get to bat for the first time. He said, we'll catch up. Now, I like that kid. 50-0, and he's ready to bat. Amen. Can I tell you something? Some of you got to get a little of that in you. Quit rolling over and playing dead. Quit whining and complaining. Well, it's hard. Who said it was going to be easy? There's a difference in failing or being a failure. Failing, not all bad. It ain't good, but it ain't all bad. Failure, that's all bad. A just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. Do you got one more get up than you got knocked down? Or are you going to just lay there and waller and flounder in it? I don't know about you. I'm getting up. You say, but it hurts. Get up anyway. You say, but I don't know if I can take another shot. Get up. They might not swing again. And if they do, get up again. You just got to keep getting up every time you get knocked down. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You just heard a truth that could revolutionize your life. I promise you. I really believe with all my heart America needs to hear that truth. Are you failing or are you floundering in failure? Get back up.